8 o'clock hour here on DFW Sports Station, your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our insider Bobby Roberto Belt with Cowboys Rams tomorrow with a preseason opener. Are you on that pregame or postgame coverage?
I am. I'll be on there right when first segment, I think, of pregame action tomorrow at 3:30.
How are we looking at the starters playing? I think Dak Prescott said yesterday he's not expecting action, but he'd be down for it.
So far, I think the expectation is you're not. It's like what Tommy Arsh talked about yesterday. Some of the starters who maybe you feel like haven't gotten enough work in practice, you might give them some extra work, but general approach has been to reserve them. Shoddy hasn't totally tipped as to what he wants to do yet, but that would be my guess, is that we're going to see a lot of reserve action where the bodies make sense. Like in some instances, you may have somebody on defense, a defensive tackle. It's like, yeah, that guy might start and he's playing because of just where their depth is at. But I would expect a lot of reserves tomorrow night.
I wanted, and I'm usually don't put him on the field, don't risk it with the preseason. I've changed my mind for this preseason. Now I wonder, are there injuries or just too many questions up front not to risk it with Dak?
Dak specifically, I understand why they would say your injury history the last few years has said we don't want to expose you any more than we have to. So I get why they would want to limit some of that. They've limited him in practices this year more than they have in years past. And so I would assume that, yeah, they're not trying to expose him any more than they have to, especially with the aging concerns and injury risk.
I understand every team's that doesn't play their starters.
Yeah,
I understand the thought process. But you know, we went 100 years in this league without that thought process, and you know how many catastrophic preseason injuries are there? You know, there wasn't all that many from a quarterback perspective.
What does Rashawn Slater do to this whole discussion, and Micah as well? Rashawn Slater, brand new deal, highest tackle contract in NFL history, 4 for 113. He's gone. Season-ending ruptured patella.
Yeah, this is, I mean, you're talking about a guy who just reset the offensive line market, got the biggest deal, and 11 days later, he's gone for the year. And I think this doesn't necessarily play directly into it, but this is the risk that I think, when I said I didn't think that Jerry was taking direct shots necessarily at people in that press conference, I really do think he was talking more just from that perspective of these guys get hurt. Like, and somebody like Slater getting hurt probably just hasn't gone, see, 11 days later, you make this massive investment. Now you don't even have him for the whole year. And you have no idea how he's going to bounce back from that injury. And it's a similar thing with, like, you know, Steele got hurt and had trouble bouncing back from the injury. They signed Gallup. Gallup had trouble coming back from his injury. And so I think it's just immediately after you sign Dak, you've got injury issues. I think it's just an instance of Jerry has seen it happen with his investments, or he's more keenly aware of the injury bug that has hit his investments, that I just think he naturally starts paying more attention to, okay, well, what if? What if he gets hurt?
Joe Milton sounds like he's going to be okay to play.
Milton sounds like he's going to be fine. He's got the thumb.
He doesn't get hurt.
Well, I mean, he did hurt his thumb.
No. That hurt for Joe Milton and hurt for us is two different things.
Do you think it's like Achilles, where he was dipped in the gold God covering, but held by his... You think he was held by his thumbs and dipped in? And
just no, I think he was held by his ability to read a defense.
There you go. That's what it is.
But this is a lesson... Go ahead, Bobby.
No, Milton, I think we'll see a ton of tomorrow night.
This is a lesson that we should all remember in how bad... And we already know the internet is bad and not trustworthy, but how these different outlets just run with something. I just typed in Joe Milton in Twitter. He's been putting on an absolute clinic against the Cowboys defense from one account. He's been one of the best. Cowboys have one of the best QB rooms in the NFL from Dove. Another account. Been playing like a bona fide superstar throughout camp. I got 5 or 6 different accounts talking about him dominating in Oxnard. And it just makes me wonder when we see a Bro Bible headline, when we see a Barstool headline, of people just taking it and running with it with no accuracy, pun intended.
There was a baseball player years ago. His name was Ryan Thompson. I don't even remember Ryan Thompson.
No.
That generic name? No.
But he was the guy that he would put on a show in batting practice. He was like unbelievable in the cages. everything is barreled up. Batting practice, everything, right? It was that you put him on the field and he hits 220. Now, back then, 220 was like awful. Now it's like league average, right? But he was, that was him. And that's Joe. You put Joe Milton against on one-on-ones, which he's just throwing the receiver, where he's not having to read a defense and take a snap and have people in front of him. I mean, he looks the part. And then you put people in front of him and a defense to read and have to be on time. Different game.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly what it, I mean, honestly, even those practice situations, sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes it'll still sail on him. Like, he's got tremendous ability. That's the thing. You just hope you can harness it and turn him into somebody who can, like, the traits are all there. It's just a matter of, like, all right, how do we rein this in and make sure that he's got this skill set used to its best, the best of its ability.
RJ Choppy's checklist for tomorrow. Cowboys, Rams, preseason game one on the Fan.
All right, number one, the five things I want to see for the Cowboys in their preseason game. I want to see Joe Milton end the Cowboys' career of Will Greer.
Okay.
All right. Nothing against Will, other than he chose to go to Florida to start his college career. But Joe playing great is better for the Dallas Cowboys, because Joe playing great is because he's got more upside. And with the upside there, if Dak gets hurt, I mean, I think you got a legitimate chance to stay competitive. Number two, some clarity on the wide receiver room. Outside your top guys, your Mingos, your Tolberts, your Holdens, like, who shines, right? Is there, can you get some kind of a clear view, clear eye view, Jalen, of who the number three or four might be? Can you get some of that? Number three, do we have a running back that can break one? Like, any running back will do, literally.
And Jaden Blue, his status after yesterday?
The thought is that it's nothing serious with Blue, and it remains to be seen how much they want to push him, but it's thought that he's going to be fine.
Number four, how does a shoddy coach team look? Does he wear the visor forward? Is he backwards?
It's going to be forward.
Baseball hat? Does he go to the baseball? Does he go to Tuca? What's he wearing out there? You know. And then number five, most importantly, this is a meaningless game, and if you're watching the fourth quarter, you need your head examined, but I want no injuries. That's number four. Five, whatever.
That's been a challenge. That has been I mean, the injury issue has been such a problem for them, just at these practices. So much more than I can remember it ever being. Usually you will have there'll be a big injury we're talking about during training camp, usually. Some are bigger than others, but yeah, a Sam Williams pops up, a Tyron Smith has the avulsion fracture while he's in training camp. I can't remember every day it feeling like three people left the field, and it's been like that like the entire camp, and I really think they got to do some sort of audit of themselves and just look and go, like, what is different this year? We can't just assume this is bad luck.
How surprised were you to see Steven and Diggs just laughing and hugging it up yesterday?
Very surprised. That's not been cheery. It does make me wonder, all right, is Steven the role of good cop right now? But I mean, because obviously in the opening press conference, Jerry was the one who was more forward with his criticism. But Steven hasn't pulled back necessarily. Steven's talked about, we think he's behind and he should have been here and those sort of things. But I mean, I think so many of these guys really do look at it and contextualize it as it's business. And it's just the nature of the business, and I guess that's just part of them and their interactions.
Let's go around the rest of the National Football League. We got Bloody Vrabel, Smelling Salts, and Shedeur Sanders starting.
Yeah, let's see. Are the Browns doing Shedeur dirty here? They are going to start him.
Yeah.
They have given him exactly zero reps with the ones.
Now, and you think that's putting him in an unfair position?
Perhaps. That's what the talk is. They're putting him in an unfair position. Now, the question I have, and this is why I don't think it's necessarily as big of a deal as people are trying to make it out to be, is that how many of the ones are actually going to play?
Yeah, it's not. I mean, even if the ones play, why is it, wouldn't people want him to get the work in then? Like, I don't understand.
If you haven't gotten any, like, if you haven't gotten any practice reps, quarterbacks will tell you that they throw to the guys who get open in practice. That's what they throw to in games.
Yeah.
And if you don't play, if you don't practice with any of the guys you're going to be playing with in the game, how do you know who gets open in practice?
I mean, did anybody care in years past when Will Greer was the three, wasn't getting any practice reps with the one, and then in the final preseason game he was playing with the ones? It was just like, yeah, like, I don't think it's setting him up to fail. It's just the nature of where they're at with the reps.
Internet thought, like, oh my God, you're trying to make him look bad.
Right.
Like, what is Cleveland doing by bringing in Tyler Huntley as well? Like, what are they doing?
They have such a huge quarterback room. They got injuries, but they just made the quarterback room bigger. Doesn't make any whole lot of sense.
Yeah, what is it? It's like the
Huntley, Pickett, Flacco, Gabriel, Shador.
That is feels like the definition of if you have five quarterbacks, you have
you don't have any.
Like, I mean, this is they're. I guess they're just looking at it as we got to find some quarterback, so we're going to literally throw anybody we can into this competition because we're so bad at picking the one that we're just gonna pick five of them and see who's right. Best.
So, I mean, I don't think it's as big of a deal as being made out to be because
I hope he balls out. This is going to be the story tomorrow morning when you wake up and watch highlights. It's going to be Shador's start.
For sure. Absolutely. Smelling salts. So, there's been confusion around this because a couple of days ago, it was like the NFL's banning smelling salts.
By the way, has anyone ever done them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
Calm down.
At the gym. The guys break about at the gym all the time.
Really?
All the time.
What does it smell like?
Like ammonia.
Yeah, it's ammonia.
Wow. And you watch them do it?
I've watched them do it.
And what are they doing it for? Before a lift?
Yeah. Like themselves geeked up.
Wow.
Yeah, it basically kicks in fight or flight or something. Like, it just basically alertness and... But KNC did it in here,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you can smell it across
KNC,
the room.
KNC, before they even opened the bottle, they could smell it. And then when they opened it, they held it they held it 2 feet away from themselves and just kind of took a light sniff, and they immediately just recoiled and closed their eyes.
Awful. So anyway, George Kittle was like, dude, I'm going to retire. So I was about to take the under on San Fran and George Kittle. All of his unders I was taking because he said he would do it before every series.
Every series?
Every series.
What are the medical ramifications on this? It can't. Is it like whippets? Can't be great.
I don't know. It can't be great for you. I mean, you're inhaling. But here, the NFL is like, no. Hang on. We got so much pushback on this. We're going to allow it, but we're not going to supply it anymore. You got to bring your own stash.
I couldn't believe this.
I couldn't believe this either. And I'm thinking to myself,
we're not going to give it to you, but you can bring it?
Yeah. What? Bring your own? Like, am I the only one who thinks that, like, I don't know, you could have players getting popped for lacing these things with something? Like, could you lace a, I have no idea. Could you lace a smelling salt with a PED that's airborne?
No.
Some Balco guy is going to figure this one out.
I don't think so. I don't think you can hold something away from your nose and sniff a PED. But,
something nefarious is going to happen.
I'm guessing here. They just look at it as... It's something you can have. We're not going to outright ban it, but like, we're not going to take on the liability or potential insurance liability of, oh, somebody had an awful adverse reaction because we supplied it on the sideline.
So it's like, bring the amount of Percocets you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Percocet.
And Vrabel. Percocet. Making you roll your eyes.
Yeah. Vrabel, this is peak football guy. So he got mixed up in it. He got bloodied and bruised after jumping into a practice scrum the other day for the Patriots. He went in there, broke it up. This is old school football guy. Chop, you should love this. This is big Dan Campbell energy to jump into the dog pile, break it up, mix it up, get in the fight. Drake May was like, yeah, that's just how much he cares. He's in there. He's fighting with us, and he just shows how intense he is. But it does make me roll my eyes. It's like, Vrabel seems like the guy who was like, he was waiting for the first scrum. So he could be like, all right, let me get in there and show my, I'm one of you guys too. And I'm the alpha here and I'm going to break it up. Like, I bet he got in there and it was like, he scratched his own cheek or something. He's like, all right, let me look bloody. Like somebody do this.
He's like a wrestler, like pulling the blade out of his pants.
Yeah. He's like, he's just faking the look and then he's coming out and going like, oh my gosh, look at me. But this doesn't feel to me like an adult's in charge. This feels like one of your bros is in charge.
Yeah, right now I'm not feeling great about my Vrabel Cowboy endorsement that he definitely should have been here.
I mean, you feel good when they win the AFC East.
And I had someone try to tell me over under 8.5. I'm like, you tell me, wait, the Patriots have the same over under as the Cowboys? That cannot be right. Is there some Patriot hype? I know you had mentioned
there's a little bit. Yeah, they've gone on a little bit of a spending spree. They've made some, like, they've spent some capital. They've got guys who Drake May's second year. They think Vrabel's going to be a good culture guy.
The quiet Cowboys controversy that no one is talking about. That's next on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan.